why does it seem, and I use the word seem, to be so hard to believe in God or Jesus? Yet it seems so easy to believe all the stuff that comes out on Facebook and Wikipedia. But for God, we seem to have a block in believing. And let's be real, people seem to believe everything. If it's on Facebook, it must be true. If it's in Wikipedia, it must be true. You've probably even read streams of conversations that explode all over Facebook of people screaming that that's not even true. Someone didn't fact check before posting something. Yet people believe all sorts of things. Yet it seems to be hard to believe in God. Today we have in our passage two amazing stories about believing. Our first story begins with five friends. One is paralyzed and the other four are carrying him. And I call them friends because this is such an extreme action of caring that I can't imagine that these five people didn't know each other. I can't imagine that one didn't say to the other, you know, I hear Jesus is here, and I hear that he can heal. Why don't we take our friend here who is paralyzed, and let's get him in there to see Jesus so that Jesus can heal. And I can imagine these five friends in cahoots trying to plan this, trying to figure out how are we going to get him there, and they carry him, and they get there, and they find, holy moly, look at all the people. Granted, this is a home that Jesus had stayed in time after time. It was sort of his respite place when he needed time away from ministry. Historically, it's believed to be the house of Peter and Peter's family. And he would go there when he needed a little bit of a downtime, and like God needs a downtime, and he would rest. And the people would know when he was there. And these friends knew that Jesus was there. So they carried him here, but they find all these people, and they realize, what in the heck are we going to do? There's no way we can carry him in there through all these people. These people aren't going to get out of our way. Let's try something different. Something different. Let's go up on the roof. We'll take our friend with us, and we'll lower him through the roof. Now, this is a man they carried. So this couldn't be a little tiny hole. This had to be a hole, because you have to get a man through it.
Yes.
Now, could you imagine the owner of the house? What are you doing to my roof? Are you going to repair that? Who's going to pay for this? What are you doing? There's probably someone not the least bit happy that their roof is being torn apart. But the five friends believe that Jesus can make a difference in their friend who cannot walk.
Yes.
They believe to the point that they're ready to destroy someone's roof. And they are lowering him down to Jesus. And here again, Jesus' response when he sees the man being lowered. When Jesus saw their faith, not just the faith of the one man who was lowered, but their faith, meaning the whole group of all five of them. Jesus is commenting on the faith of all the friends, from the one who needed healing to the four who were tearing apart the roof. They had faith, they believed that Jesus could make a difference. Seems extraordinary to put such belief into action. How much easier would have been for any one of these men to say, you know, this is crazy. This is absolutely ridiculous. We're going to tear someone's roof apart and lower him down to in front of Jesus. And are you sure that Jesus can really heal this friend of ours? They believed that Jesus would make the difference for their friend. They pulled that roof apart. They lowered him down without consideration of what it meant to tear apart someone's roof. This was not an easy task. Those roof thatchings were in there. It was hard. Remember, people would go up onto the roof as a place to get away from heat. And it had to be strong enough for people to walk around on. It had to be sturdy. And there they are, digging out the roof because they believed. They believed in Jesus. They believed in the saving power of Jesus. They believed in the healing power of Jesus. They believed that Jesus was who Jesus says he is. Place yourself in that group, in that house. You see Jesus up there. We have no idea what kind of impact those five friends had on everybody else in the room. We have no idea of the impact their actions of faith, their actions of belief had on everybody else that was in the house and outside of the house. Just as you have no idea how your faith impacts the people that you're around when they see examples of your faith in action. You have no idea who you're touching. You have no idea who you are impacting, just as these friends had no idea. But we do know that there was a group there that was not the least bit happy with Jesus. We've seen them before. Those scribes, they were angry. Now, they're not angry because Jesus healed. They're not angry because the people showed their faith in Jesus by their actions. They were angry because of Jesus' words. Words is what they're angry at. You know, people say you won't believe in something unless they see it with their own eyes. They're probably from Missouri. That show me state. And they come honestly by that. The Missouri U.S. Congressman Willard Van Diver back in 1899 coined that phrase when he gave a speech in Philadelphia. He said, "I come from a state that raises corn and cotton and cockleburrs," I'm not sure what those are, "and Democrats." And frothy eloquence, like what he's doing, frothy eloquence neither convinces nor satisfy me. I'm from Missouri. You've got to show me. And that "to show me" has become a slogan, and it's even on the license plates of people that live in Missouri. The phrase was used to describe the character of the people, that they were not gullible, that they were conservative, that they were unwilling to believe without adequate evidence. What more evidence do you need to see than five friends who do everything in their possible lives to get their friend down before Jesus, including tearing someone's roof apart? That is evidence. That is the impact that their faith had on people. The scribes were so wrapped up in the technicality of words, "Your sins are forgiven." They totally overlooked the fact that a man had been healed. They were more concerned whether or not Jesus was being blasphemous in his words, and not the fact that five men had such faith and belief that they were willing to climb up on a roof, tear someone's roof apart, to get their friend to Jesus. Jesus even questioned the scribe about how much easier it is to not believe. That it was hard for them to accept him saying, "Your sins are forgiven," but they would have been very happy with, "Take up your mat and walk." Jesus in our passage ends up leaving Capernaum, his resting place, and he goes out by the sea. And as he goes, he passes a man who we know is Matthew, but in this particular translation and this particular book, he's referred to as Levi by his Hebrew name, and says to him, "Follow me." Here is another example for us of one who acts upon his belief and faith. Matthew got up and followed. Yes. He didn't first say, "Well, you know, Jesus, I really have to sit here at the tax collector's booth until 5 o'clock. You know, that's when my day is over. So once my day is over, I can come and follow you, but I have to do my job first." You know, Matthew could have said, "Well, you know, this is an awful lot of money I'm going to lose. Matthew said none of that. Matthew believed in Jesus. There was something about Jesus that Matthew had heard. Jesus was getting known throughout the community. Matthew had heard something about Jesus that touched his heart. Something that said to him, I need to believe in this man. This man is from God. This man can heal. This man can change lives. I need to be with him. So when Jesus said to him, come and follow me, he got up and followed.
Yes.
He didn't make a whole lot of excuses. He didn't look for ways to get around it. I mean, he was given up a lucrative job. Being a tax collector was a money job because you were so busy cheating all the other people. If their tax was 10 denarii, well, you charge them 11. And guess who keeps the extra? The tax collector. So it was an easy way to make a lot of money. But he got up and followed. He gave up the easy, lucrative job for the harder job of following Jesus the Christ. What are you giving up in following Jesus the Christ? I have encountered people who say they don't believe in God. When I ask them why, they tell me, well, I don't believe in God because I can't see God. I once asked a person, do you believe in the wind? Well, after they got done looking at me a little funny, they said, well, of course I do. And I said, tell me what the wind looks like. And so they started talking, and they started describing wind to me, telling me how the wind would make the curtains in their house flutter and billow when it came through the windows, and they could hear the wind as it went through the mountain pass behind them or came through the tree branches in their yard. I said, well, that's what wind does. That's the impact that the wind is having on our environment. You're seeing and telling me about the impact of the wind. You really haven't described wind. So if you can't see that wind and you can only visualize its impact, how do you believe in the wind? Got them thinking. And what about gravity? Can you describe what gravity looks like? Anybody? I mean, we see the impact of gravity. You hold something out in the air, it will fall to the ground. Can't tell you what that gravity described looking like as I let go of those papers. I just know that the impact of gravity is that the papers went to the ground. We believe in gravity. That's why we put on belts when we go on a plane. So as the plane hits a little pocket, we don't bounce out of those seats due to gravity. We believe in gravity because we see the impact of gravity on our lives. You know, I can't tell you what God looks like physically, but I can share with you story after story. We could be here for 2 hours on how God has impacted this world. I can tell you story after story how God has impacted people. People right here in this church. People right here in this community. And so I can say I believe in God because I've seen the impact that God has had on the lives of people. The Bible, our words, given to us by God, are filled with stories of how God impacted the people. And realize very few of those people in Scripture actually got to see God face to face. They saw the impact that God had upon the lives of the people, and that led them to believe. So what about you? Is it really that easy to say, I don't believe? Or is it easier to say, I do believe, because I've seen the impact that God has had on my own life. I have seen the impact of God upon the lives of my friends. I have seen the impact of God upon people I don't even know around the world. Church, I call each and every one of us to believe. We need to believe like those friends who tore apart the roof and saw their friend healed. We need to believe without seeing. In the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." We need to believe like Matthew, who got up and followed Jesus.
Yes.
We need to believe and see the impact that God has upon our lives. So church, believe and live.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Please rise as you are able for our hymn of response. As soon as I find out what it is.